This is People First Radio On Demand, podcasts, streaming, and MP3 downloads, available when you want to listen at chly.ca and at the People First Radio website.
CHLY 101.7 FM, Vancouver Island. On the web, www.chly.ca.
Black Diamond Dust is a multi-site art exhibition which considers the coal mining industry that Nanaimo was built upon. It's an industry that both formed and fragmented communities through economic development, racial segregation, and labor inequity, and served as the foundation of global industrialization. The exhibit runs until December 13, 2014, and is primarily based at both Nanaimo Art Gallery locations, downtown and at Vancouver Island University. Black Diamond Dust also involves a series of off-site public projects, including a billboard display, a poetry reading, a newspaper insert, and an artist's intervention in the Nanaimo Museum, among others. There have also been tours of the gallery exhibitions by historian Lynn Bowen and exhibit curator Jesse Birch. Kevin stopped by the Nanaimo Art Gallery's downtown studio earlier this week and spoke with Jesse Birch. Here's that conversation.
So Black Diamond Dust is a real multi-site art exhibition.
It's at both Nanaimo Art Gallery locations, so the location downtown at 150 Commercial Street, but also our Vancouver Island University location. But beyond that, it's located around town at other different sites. For example, the Nanaimo Museum has an intervention by artist Devin Knowles, and Raymond Boisjoli did a billboard coming into Nanaimo at Nanus Bay. And in addition to those artworks, we also did a tour of the Morden Mine as part of the exhibition. And also we produced an insert in the Nanaimo Daily News as, I think of it at that as a site of the exhibition, a place where people can experience the exhibition. Also, we'll be making a publication that will be coming out in next spring. And I also see that as a site of the exhibition. Different ways that the work can be distributed, not only around Nanaimo, but globally. I see each place where someone experiences an artwork as a site of the exhibition. And in some ways, that's what I mean by a multi-site exhibition.
One of the sites is, in fact, at the north point, so to speak, of Vancouver Island, I believe, and this is the Sointula site. Tell us about, there's a bit of an exchange, highly symbolic, with that site.
One of the artists in the show is named Carrie Reed, and she lives in Sointula, and her partner, Tyler, run the Sointula Art Shed, which is an artist residency in Sointula, so they invite artists to go up there and do projects, but they're also both practicing artists. Carrie has a practice that involves labor being a way of speaking to objects, so showing empathy to objects. She thinks about the fact that in a society where we treat people like objects, we should treat objects with the utmost love and respect. So she asked me to send a specific object to Nanaimo, to Sointula, which was a lump of coal. So I sent her a lump of coal from the Morden mine to up to where she lives, and she worked with it as an artist. Sointula is relevant in relation to Nanaimo because there were 117 Finnish miners who came to Nanaimo to work in Dunsmuir's mines, and they were dissatisfied with the working conditions. So they left in rowboats. They rowed all the way up to Malcolm Island and started a community called Sointula, which was kind of like a utopian community. And they had a lot of dreams for what that community would be. After a while, they had a lot of infighting, and the community, as they saw it, kind of fell apart. It still exists, but it didn't get to be what they wanted it to be. So when Carrie received a lump of coal from me, her idea was that she would cast one version of this lump of coal from Nanaimo as an homage to each of the original Finnish miners who moved to Sointula and started the community there. But the coal had oxidized because it had been sitting outside of the earth. And so after the first cast she did, the coal completely crumbled. To her, that was an interesting thing that happened, and it was a way to think about the work differently. So she took the one perfectly cast lump of coal and she donated it to the Sointula Museum. And I see that as symbolizing the sort of utopian idea that they started with. But then the crumbled piece of coal, she treated in a different way through labor, through her artistic labor, by drawing a perfect rendition of the crumbled form of coal. And so in the gallery, we have the original crumbled form of coal that traveled to Sointula as a lump of coal, crumbled, and then came back to Nanaimo in its crumbled form, and her perfectly rendered drawing of the crumbled coal.
Thank you.
There's also different forms of expression involved in this.
We were really interested in the fact that pretty much everyone in Nanaimo has some experience with Nanaimo's mining history, whether you live on top of a mine, which is most of us, or you have family who were involved in the mines, or, you know, you've run into something in the urban environment that signifies Nanaimo's history. There's so many different ways that coal is all around us, in some visible and some invisible ways. So we wanted to engage with some of the ways that coal is articulated, or the mining history of Nanaimo is articulated beyond visual art articulation. So, for example, we worked with the Nanaimo Community Archives to reprint a bunch of historical photographs that are relevant to different themes that are within the show, sub-themes. And also we borrowed a map of the number one mine from them, which is this huge map. It spans a great portion of the wall down in the downtown gallery here. And it shows the workings of the number one mine and how they spread from downtown Nanaimo under the water, under protection, and Newcastle Island, all the way to Gabriel Island, all underground working. So it's a pretty powerful thing for people to come into the gallery and to see that, you know, not only is the downtown core riddled with mines underneath it, but the mines spread out to the sea. And this is only one of the mines in Nanaimo. We are also very, very clear in articulating that there are so many mines here that they all undercut each other. Like I said, no matter where you are, you're probably standing on or near a mine in Nanaimo. We wanted to work with artists that worked in a whole range of different disciplines, different ways of articulating different things about materials. So because coal is the anchor of the show, is a particular material, the material of coal, we thought it would be interesting to see how different artists work with material histories. So we have artists that work with sculpture, photography, painting, and a whole range, video, a whole range. It's pretty much every medium you can think of almost is represented in this exhibition.
There's even a billboard involved.
That's right. Raymond Boisjoli did a billboard coming into town. The billboard is called NANAIMO, and it's an alternate Welcome to Nanaimo sign that he created. Boisjoli is of Haida and Quebecois descent, and he's interested in the way that different Aboriginal place names are distorted through their anglicization. He expresses a visual distortion of place names through redesigning these names, and he redesigns them inspired by black heavy metal logo styles. So the Welcome to Nanaimo sign that he created is a kind of a distorted version of a dark heavy metal logo for Nanaimo, and it's on a grid background. He's interested in the way that by treating a place as a resource, by naming something, by owning something, you fracture the holistic nature of any one place. And you'll see that if you're driving into town on the left-hand side from the North Island to the South.
Jesse, this was a highly personal piece of work for you. Mm-hmm. Tell us a bit more about that.
Yeah, I was born in Nanaimo, and I grew up on Jingle Pot Road, named after the Jingle Pot Mine. And as a child, I delivered papers in the Miners Park subdivision, which was a subdivision that was made in the 80s as I was growing up. I always saw these names like Coal Tyee Trail and Black Diamond Drive. I sort of half recognized throughout my childhood that I grew up in a miner's cabin, that, you know, there are these names all around me that signified mines. You know, it's one of those things for, I think, a lot of Nanaimoites. It's present but absent at the same time. We go about our daily business and we don't really think about it too much. I would deliver papers to all these houses on, you know, Coal Tyee Trail, and not knowing the history of who Coal Tyee was, I just thought it was a cool name, you know, until I got a little older. That sort of presence and absence of the knowledge of a place was something that I sort of puzzled over a lot as I got older. And so when I was thinking about how I could possibly, you know, think about Nanaimo or respond to Nanaimo as a curator, that was something that came forward to me, that, you know, we should think about how we can respond to this particular history and sort of set some sparks to for people to think differently or to look deeper into the history.
Jesse Birch is the curator of Nanaimo Art Gallery's current Black Diamond Dust exhibit. It's been a personal journey for Jesse as he grew up in Nanaimo, living in what was originally a miner's house on Jingle Pot Road, and as he describes it, across the street from the Miners Park subdivision, and in the 1980s, he delivered newspapers on Coal Tyee Trail and Black Diamond Drive. Nanaimo literally sits atop a vast network of coal mines, and the city's past and present are inextricably linked with coal. I stopped by the Nanaimo Art Gallery's downtown location earlier this week to view the Black Diamond Dust exhibit and to speak with Jesse Birch. Here's the rest of that conversation. We're standing at the downtown location of the Nanaimo Art Gallery, and there are a number of pieces that are spread throughout the gallery space, but primarily in the center, I see a lot of mauve-colored shapes. Do you want to tell us a bit about the mauve aspect of this?
Yeah, absolutely. These works are by a sculptor from Vancouver named Devin Knowles, and they're called Mauve Ghosts. They're concrete forms that were cast in fabric, and they were dyed with a mauve dye. They're also on steel girders and placed into concrete blocks to stabilize them. But each piece of the work, the stabilization mechanism and these cast forms all speak to something relating to coal. So starting with the color magenta, magenta was first used as a commercial dye when it was discovered as people were exploring coal tar as a way of extracting pharmaceuticals through the chemical process of working with coal tar. One of the scientists found that you could extract color from coal. Magenta as a commercial dye, and almost all commercial dyes actually found their origin in an extraction from coal. These forms are cast in fabric. They look like fabric. They almost look like classical sculptures in some way, the way that they're draped. But they also refer to magenta as a cultural phenomenon, you know, that can be seen as speaking about the history of coal and coal's use in industrialization. If you think about that in relation to the form of concrete, well, they use coke, which is a byproduct of coal, to make concrete, to be able to heat the concrete to make it. And also with steel, any kind of forgery, a forge is, or a factory that makes steel is fired by coal. So we look at these sculptures, we look at them from the top to the bottom, we see mauve dyed concrete, steel, more concrete, and then we look at our floor and we go, oh, wait a minute, the floor of the gallery is concrete. And we can go beyond that to look outside and to think about the entire built environment being made from coal. So, you know, coal built the industrial world, basically. So it's something that is important to most people's lives in the industrial world.
Okay, so we're here at a video installation, I guess you'd say.
Yeah, it's a video projection of a documentary film by British artist Jeremy Deller. This film was produced in 2001 and aired on Channel 4 in the UK in 2002. The film depicts the process of restaging or reenacting the Battle at Ogreave, which was a very famous conflict between police and miners in 1984 in Thatcher era Britain. Margaret Thatcher called the unions and the miners the enemy within, and the miners took great offense to that because, of course, what they did, their labor was what built industrial Britain. There was a lot of conflict that was happening at that time as Thatcher was trying to crush the unions. What Jeremy Deller did was he worked to meet as many of the miners in the original strike as possible and invited them to restage the original strike along with the Society of Creative Anachronisms. These are those people that dress up like medieval knights and pretend to have battles in fields. Well, in this case, they're pretending they're miners and policemen having a battle in 1980s Britain. Having the miners involved in restaging their own experience really brought up a lot of questions around what it is to think about a historical moment and how that resonates, you know, 20 or 30 years later. Also, even about four of the original policemen participated as well. So it's a pretty interesting film to have in this show because it kind of shows some parallels between Nanaimo's history and global histories. And also it talks about the fact that parallels between places happen across time as well. So this is a major strike in Britain in the 80s. Of course, there are multiple strikes before this, but this is a very recent one that is really important historically. And we also have photographs in the gallery of Nanaimo's miner strike of 1913. So we have images of the 1,000 militiamen that the province brought in to quell the strike. We have images of miners in conflict with the militia. We have images of train cars that were set on fire to stop the militia's movement. And we have images of the militia taking the miners away. So setting these next to this film about what's happening in the UK, well, what was happening in the UK in the 80s, is important to me to set up this sort of global network of parallels that happen in mining communities and labor communities, labor-based communities all over the world.
You told Nicholas Pescott at Nanaimo News Bulletin that you wanted to do something that gives back to Nanaimo. What has this experience been like for you personally?
I've had so many amazing conversations. One of the really great things that for me was talking with historian Lynn Bowen doing research for this show, and she's been so generous, and we gave a tour together of the exhibition, and it was really amazing to hear her deep historical knowledge and her insights about these works and telling me things about works that I've been showing that I didn't even know about them, and that was so rewarding. And I think that those kinds of connections with different people of Nanaimo that have interests outside of visual art has been really key in offering an entry point for people to come and experience visual art. There have been so many people who, like I said earlier, have different experiences with mining, and they come here and different things resonate with them, whether it's the number one mind map or the historical photographs. Hopefully they encounter or engage with the artworks themselves as well, and sort of look at this place from multiple different points of view. So in that sense, I guess offering multiple points of view to think about this community and its history is kind of what I meant by giving back to the community. But also just being here and coming back to my hometown, working at the gallery and wanting to contribute to the culture of Nanaimo, that's sort of also what I meant.
Michael Turner's review of this exhibit suggests that Black Diamond Dust will be the first of many what you might describe as locally specific and globally relevant exhibitions to be mounted here at the Art Gallery. Tell us more about that concept and what can we expect in the future.
This will be the first in a series of exhibitions that explore Nanaimo's relationship with resources. Of course, the big three resources are forestry, fisheries, and mines. Next September, there will be an exhibition that is exploring some issues around forestry. It will be in the downtown gallery only, but we'll also be collaborating with the Nanaimo Museum to bring an exhibition of Edward Bertinsky's photographs paired with Emily Carr's paintings. So the two exhibitions will have conversation with one another. The Bertinsky Carr show at the museum will be in dialogue with the exhibition here that deals with forestry from a local point of view, and it will be approached in a similar manner to this exhibition in that there'll be some artifact-based works and also a lot of artworks. And the next one will be about fisheries, and that will likely happen the following year.
Well, you've done a tremendous job here. It's very interesting, and I think, as others have said, we're only scratching the surface with this discussion, but nonetheless, the exhibit is running until the middle of December.
Yeah, that's right. It runs until December 13th. It's definitely worth seeing, I think. So please come and check it out. Please try to go to at least both of the gallery locations if you can.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Jesse Birch is Acting Artistic Director at Nanaimo Art Gallery and the curator of Black Diamond Dust. You can find out more about the exhibit, which runs until December 13th, 2014, at nanaimoartgallery.com.
This is a People First Radio podcast. People First Radio is an initiative of Columbian Center Society in partnership with Radio Malaspina Society and produced at CHLY Community Radio in Nanaimo, British Columbia. The opinions expressed in this interview do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the partnering organizations. Visit us online. Just Google People First Radio to find our webpage.